welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com. We are real radio on the internet. We're downtown Los Angeles, and we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur, some of business tips, and just sharing what that life is all about. And if you all have any questions, you can give us a call at 1-800-893-9562. And today I'm interviewing Marguerite Ward, and she is a coach, a consultant, and she's also the founder of Get Up Girl. So welcome, Marguerite. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're an entrepreneur, and I'd like to know, I'd like to start this off with just kind of, did you always know that's what you wanted to do?
I don't know if it's what I always knew I wanted to do, but it's always something that I knew I could do because I grew up, my mom was an entrepreneur and I grew up in her business and learning how to run a business through her.
What did she do?
She's a graphic designer.
Okay.
Yeah, and she had a business from the time I was born, and both me and my sister grew up learning graphic design from her. And then when I was in my early 20s, after I graduated from FITM in Los Angeles, I went and started working for her full time and really learned a lot about the business and running a business and being your own boss and all that from her. So
fantastic. It's always nice to have that kind of mentoring relationship if you can get it. So did you just automatically think whenever you were a little, was there something that you wanted to do when you were a little girl? Or did you just think, oh, as many little girls do, I want to be like mom?
I think to some degree I did. And I'm interested in so many things. So I had an evolution of different things I wanted to do. I was always interested in design, interior design. But I also love to dance and gymnastics when I was young. So I kind of went back and forth between wanting to be a dancer and wanting to be some type of designer, some type of creative entrepreneur.
So when you graduated from FITM, did you get your degree in graphic design or did you get it in something else?
I actually got my degree in fashion merchandising and marketing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you think you might do with that?
I was interested in maybe having my own store or possibly, I love fashion photography. So something around marketing with fashion was something that I was interested in. And actually what drew me back into working for my mom was that we had a project working with Hilton Hotels where I had the opportunity to travel around the country and organize photo shoots, art direct them, organize them. So it helped get me interested in her business again because it had a lot to do about photography as well as travel.
Well, that's very exciting whenever you think about that. And sometimes we have those crossroads or those decisions and they lead us in a different direction and help to actually set the stage for what it is we're going to do later on, even if we don't recognize that. So being able to not only work with your mom, who she sounds like she was an amazing woman, and what a great opportunity to have her to learn from and be a mentor, but also to take into account the things that you were passionate about, like you said, the photography, and to get to travel around the world in your 20s and work with a name brand and really learn so much from that can be very empowering and very exciting. And also give you a lot of skill sets to help you as you move along. So at this point, though, you are coaching and mm-hmm. you're a consultant and you also have your own company, which encompasses all of that. Where did that leap happen?
That leap happened about 10 years ago. My business started actually, that business came out of a desire to want to get back and working with people. I had grown a graphic design and publishing business actually with my husband. I kind of grew out of my mother's business and we started our own. And then we sold that when I became a mom. So I became from having a full-on office employees and everything to becoming a freelancer. So I really scaled back, you know, working in terms of a bigger picture of having overhead and all that. and simplifying. But then I found myself when he was older of missing being more in contact with people. And I also, at the same time, while this is all going on, was always pursuing education and counseling psychology, spiritual psychology, and working with people as a personal interest. So I took that and my background as, you know, a person who had my own business to work with other people to help them grow their business and, you know, help them find their dreams.
So was there any kind of, because you and I are both in a similar type business, so we know that there's a lot of fear around what some of the people are, whenever people are getting ready to launch a business, and even being in business. So what did you have any of that thinking, okay, well, I've worked with my mom and then you started your own business. Was there any fear going into that? Like, can I succeed?
Yeah, I definitely think there's fear. There's always, is this the right decision? Will I do well? But I think at the same time, I would have the fear, but at the same time, I'd be excited about what the possibilities could be. And maybe the fact that I always thought that this is normal to have your own business, that helped me along.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of thinking it's possible. So I think knowing it's possible is really important, because I think no matter what you're going to do in life, you are going to have fear come up. And it still comes up for me now.
And there's some unknowns.
Exactly.
There's always unknowns.
Yeah. And I think that part of the journey of the evolution as an entrepreneur or even as a human being is learning to know yourself and to understand that it's okay to be afraid, and that's part of the journey. I think that's one of the things I've learned a lot, is that part of developing and growing as an entrepreneur is growing as a person and knowing that you're going to be out of your comfort zone. And that's part of the excitement of, you know, growing and learning and expanding yourself and whatever you're doing in the world.
So you worked, you know, they always say don't work with family. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, as you know, and so we have very similar backgrounds, and I've worked with my husband, and you worked with your husband. What are some takeaways and recommendations that you might have in those particular kind of situations that you can share with our audience?
I think the important thing is, two things come up right away, is communication. You know, having the opportunity to make sure that you can keep the communication clear and discuss what's working, what's not working, and, you know, set the stage, set it up that that's okay, that you're going to be doing that. And then also to get really clear about what your roles are. So that way you're not on top of each other, whatever you're doing. You both have an area that you're working on. So you feel like you have the space and, you know what's expected of you and what's expected of the other person.
If anyone wants to call in, by the way, you can reach us at 1-800-893-9562. You would think I would have this number memorized by now, and I wouldn't have to look up at it. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you if you have questions or something you want to share. So please give us a call. How did you define the roles? Did you all sit down and just say, okay, so these are my strengths and this is what I feel most comfortable doing? Or how did you handle that?
Well, working, I don't know how much I did that with my mom, because it was more her business and then me finding my way. But I think what I did do with her was tell her what I was interested in and what I wanted to do. And that made it clear for her to know what I wanted to involve. And then if there were things that I saw that we could expand into or things that could change, I made sure that I would communicate what those were. And then in working with my husband, luckily it was fairly clear in terms of what our strengths were. So I think that it was just a matter of reaffirming kind of what we already knew what we were going to do. So I think it is like what you just said. It is, you know, clarifying what are our strengths and what do we like? What do we like to do? And if there are things that we both don't want to do and don't like to do, then hire a good person to do those things.
And that's really good advice, because a lot of people try and take it all on, and it's hard to let go of those reins. But I think, did your mom have a big Did she have a staff?
Yeah, she had a staff, I want to say about 10 people.
So you really were able to witness firsthand some of how, what her delegation skills were and utilizing different people. So did that help you when you came into your own business to, and you grew your business because you said you had a staff and an office and all of the things that one would normally think about establishing with a business. Did that help you in terms of learning how to delegate? Because sometimes that's very hard to let go.
Yeah, it definitely helped me. And one of the things that I actually did see was that that wasn't necessarily my mother's strength. She's really an amazing designer, and communicating with her staff wasn't always her first priority. So I saw how that didn't work so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make it my intention to make that more important. I think that's, you know, it makes sense. I'm a coach and consultant. It's a lot about communication.
Right.
So I made that very important in terms of communicating what our vision was, what was the expectations are, and also to listen, because it's a two-way street. I think it's really important not only to communicate to your employees what you want them to do, it's also listening to them and hearing what they want to do and where their ideas, because I can learn from the people that I hire all the time.
Well, both of those, not only in working with employees, but also with your clients, those are key.
Yeah.
Communication and listening to their concerns, listening to what it is that they want, which really helps you to turn around and understand no matter what business you're in. So those are very, very important skills to have. And you clearly are very good at both of those things, of communicating and listening. So what other strengths do you think that you possess, and how do you tap into finding out what your strengths are?
Those are great questions. I think in addition to what I shared in terms of communication, I also think I have a good grasp of understanding what people are challenged with in terms of maybe it's an intuitive thing, but also part of that listening is, you know, you're listening to what they're saying, but I'm also listening to maybe the deeper message behind what it is they're saying that they want. Because I think sometimes we as people don't always know what we want. So being able to draw that out of someone, asking them the type of questions that help other people clarify, you know, what is the deeper thing that they want, what's meaningful to them, and you know, where they want to go. So I think that's one of my strengths, is helping people clarify their direction, their clarity, and what they want to create for themselves.
That's a great trait to have. And you also mentioned listening to your kind of a gut, or whether it's intuition. And I think that we all have that, but a lot of times we ignore that voice. And so it's great that you have that that trait within you. And so what are the others?
What are the others? Well, I think growing up as a designer, but also as a marketer, I think one of my gifts too is helping people to promote themselves, how to reach out, you know, make the most of what they have. So whether their business is in finance, or I have a designer organizer client, understanding what are the avenues in which they can really promote what they're doing. So part of that is understanding how to create messaging, how to clarify what it is that they're doing, so that they can communicate their message, what they're doing, and utilize the technology that's out there now, social media, web, all those things. So, you know, taking my background in design and marketing and matching it with what's happening now, which is such a new world in terms of promoting your business. And there's so many more opportunities to promote what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so helpful in today's time. So in terms of tapping into how you recognize what these strengths are, first of all, I think it takes a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, sometimes we just have that aha moment where you consistently are doing something, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, wow, I'm actually really good at this. Or did you just always know? And did you sit down and think, okay, what am I? So what would you recommend for someone in trying to access their strengths and figure out what their strengths are?
Well, I think that a lot of times, looking back, to when we were young and what we love to do. I think there is that. That's helpful because I think sometimes we can get away from it, especially depending on how you were raised. If you were raised to focus on studying something that was, you know, a solid career or maybe not something necessarily that you wanted to do. So I would take a look at what were your passions when you were young. And I think that is natural, a natural kind of roadway.
Without those fears that normally surround it, or what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
Exactly. So if you, let's say you loved art, but you know, you were never told that that's a real career, or maybe you're not necessarily going to be an artist, but there's something creative there inside you. And there's so many different ways to express creativity. I strongly believe that all people are creative.
I agree.
And it can come out in so many different ways, in terms of speaking or, you know, even careers that aren't necessarily considered creative, you know, engineering or math, those types of things. I think that the way you use your mind can be very creative. So, you know, acknowledging, you know, what your gifts are. I also know about a really great little test that you can take online called Strengths Finder.
Yes, that's awesome.
Have you heard of it?
Yes, I've taken it. I love it.
Yeah, and it's very reasonable. You get the book.
2.0.
That's right, Strengths Finder 2.0. And what's different about that test, I think, is that it looks at your strengths, not in terms of what you would be doing in the world, but your innate gifts. And I think for some people that you wouldn't be surprised what you find out, but you might be surprised by what you find out what your top strengths are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredibly accurate, I think, for everybody I know that has done it. And I've given it as gifts to many people. It's very, very accurate. And a little tip, if anybody's listening and they want to go out and get that book, answer the questions quickly. Otherwise, they'll just pass right over. And it might skew the results a little bit. So answer the questions as quickly as you can.
So. Good tip.
Yes. Well, that's what we're all about on this show, is
sharing
business tips and what our life is all about.
So, one thing more about that, I think it's also a good tool to use when you're wanting to work with somebody else or when you're hiring somebody, so that you can find out more about what their strengths are. Because one of the things that I learned in doing that process, there's a whole book about the fact that if we focus on our strengths versus trying to strengthen weaknesses, that people grow exponentially faster when you focus on their strengths versus, oh, they're not good at that, they really need to strengthen that, and then you focus on that, and that's actually counterproductive.
Yes, and I agree with that philosophy 100%, and they do talk about that in the book, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I think it's very important to be able to do that, because we waste a lot of time if it would be like, math is not my deal.
Mine either.
And so if I focus trying to get better at math, we know it's just not ever going to happen, and I will have wasted a lot of time. So
that's right. Thank God for calculating.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I told a statistics teacher I would never use statistics, and I don't have to. There's other people who can do that, so I agree. I think another good way to find out some of your strengths, too, is really to listen to what your friends always say about you. Mm. You know, like, oh my gosh, you're always so good at listening or planning a party or whatever it is that they're always telling you, that you're so creative or whatever it is. Those kind of things are, and really paying attention and listening to those.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really accurate. So, a lot of times they see us more clearly than we see ourselves.
Right. Well, we tend to also, I wonder if you agree, that we tend to discount because it just comes so naturally. Like someone who can style their clothing, for example, they just think, well, this is just what I do. And they don't really think about the fact that that's really a skill. Mm-hmm. That's really an asset to be able to do that. And not everyone else does.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're able to see so clearly when you're doing your graphic design and understand what somebody needs, for some people they may think, oh, but that's just what I do. And they don't actually take it and highlight it and recognize it as a true skill set.
Yeah, I agree.
Or asset or trait. So I think that's really good. What are your weaknesses?
My weaknesses. Let's see.
Besides math.
Besides math. Yeah, that's a clear weakness. My son likes to tease me about that. I think that sometimes I, because I like so many different things, sometimes I can get myself distracted.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one of my weaknesses. I mean, I think it's funny. I think sometimes our strengths can sometimes be our weaknesses at mm-hmm. the same time,
sure.
depending on,
absolutely.
You know, how the pendulum goes. So in some ways it's a strength, but in some ways I think that it can distract me. And then I find myself needing to get back onto focus. So that I think is one of my challenges.
So when you are interested in so many things, and we know a lot of entrepreneurs who are, and you have so many things out there and you're so talented at so many of them, how do you pick and choose? How do you narrow it down?
That's such a good question. I'm not the expert on that answer. But I think it comes down to the thing that you keep thinking about. It's like, I think that you keep coming back to something. And I think you have to, like, again, it's listening. Maybe that's the theme of the day, is listening to that inner voice that, you know, kind of that knows that answer. And
yeah.
I think taking the time to ask yourself those questions. I like to use journaling or sometimes just walking in nature when I'm not clear, to just kind of check in with myself and say, okay, you're doing this and this and this. Which one is really, you know, the direction, or what's really going to be of the greatest service to me and to the people that I work for right now? And just listen. And usually I'll get a clear answer. So I think it's kind of putting away the noise and the busyness and the doing, and taking some time to reflect and ask and listen.
You and I are so on the same page, because that's exactly how I do it too. But I like what you brought up, because we talked about how important it is to listen to our clients, but it's also equally as important to listen to ourselves. And that sometimes gets pushed to the wayside. You know, we're so busy being busy mm-hmm. and doing what it is that we do, that we tend to forget to take that time to stop and listen to ourselves and make sure that we're in alignment with everything, and that we're clear with ourselves. And it's very easy to give out advice to others. At least it is for me. And it's not always easy for me to take that same advice. Do you find that true?
I do. And sometimes I think I'm a coach, because it keeps me in line. You know, I feel as though I'll spend an hour with a client and leave thinking, I need to do all those things too. You know, it's like a reflection back in terms of what really works, and to stay awake. And it's, you know, it's being an entrepreneur, I think, is a great metaphor or journey, I guess, maybe is another word, to keep yourself growing and learning all the time. You know, learning about yourself and how you can continue to improve what you're doing and how you're doing it for others. So that's one of the things I love about it. It keeps me growing and learning all the time.
Yeah, which is great. That's what keeps us young.
Yeah.
Or at least I'd like to think so. So you started out, it got to a point where you had a very successful business. You sold it, which is on the bucket list for a lot of people, actually. And would love to... So there's several things I want to chat with you about, because this is all so interesting. So I'd like to know more about that, and how, because sometimes women have a hard time letting go. This is their baby, and this is. Did you sell it before you had your son, or did you sell it after you had your son?
Well, actually what happened, we had merged 2 years before that with another couple. So now there were two sets of couples running this business. And I was actually about 7 months pregnant when our partners came and said they wanted to buy us out. And my first reaction was, I didn't want to do that, because we had built this business. But I had also, you know, a couple years before that, had written a plan about the way I wanted to be a mom, and realized that this had actually been my my dream manifesting. So what I just mentioned is kind of what I did. My reaction at first was, no, I don't want to do that. It's this baby that we had, you know, been building for a few years. But when I took a week off and went in retreat, and I just really got clear that, no, this is perfect. this is actually what we want to do. And it was a little scary because I didn't know what I was going to do, you know, in the next few years. I mean, I knew I was going to be raising a small, you know, baby. So I had a new baby that I was focusing on. And I think that's what helped me let go, you know,
yeah,
to take that leap.
That's good. Yeah. It really took your mind off of letting something go that you had built. And sometimes it's like ripping off our arm if we let go of something. So then you had your child, and obviously, and I have children too, so I know that it's really how it can be so great to be able to focus on them if that's what you have the opportunity to do. And then at some point you're thinking, okay, what else? What else? I'm not going to abandon my child, but I feel like I need something more. Right. And it's maybe a little bit beneficial for the child too. And that doesn't mean that I'm suggesting anybody has to rush out and go to work or start a career, because I think raising a child is incredibly honorable and the hardest work and the greatest reward I've ever done in my life. And you and I have talked, and you feel the same way. But you start thinking, okay, so I really would like to get back out there. Am I still good anymore? Are those the kind of questions? What kind of questions popped up in your head when you're thinking, okay, I'm ready to get back out there and do something?
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew, because having grown up with the design, I knew that I could do that as a freelancer. I mean, we had hired a lot of freelancers, so I knew that that was an opportunity for me. And it was something I could do from home and have the flexibility of doing it at my own time. So that's what I decided to focus on. So I just kind of hung my shingle out. I just started reaching out to businesses and letting them know that I was doing that, in addition to people that I had worked with in the past. And I was able to create a flourishing freelance graphic design business for quite a few years when my son was young.
Fantastic. So what I'm wondering about, or the question I'm kind of leading up to, is whether it's graphic design or eventually you went into coaching and taking that skill set with you, obviously. But this isn't a super unique business that no one else is in. Mm-hmm. And so how did you recognize that this is how I'm going to kind of stand out from the crowd, or this is how I'm going to build my business? So what thoughts kind of went through your head?
Well, having had some experience as well in sales, because when we had our business, that was one of the things that I did. I was one of the people that went out and promoted and presented to the to our prospective clients, as well as just having I had a retail background, you know, back in the days when I was doing fashion. So I just knew it was about getting out there and letting people know about what I did. So I kind of thought of it as a challenge, like, let's see what can happen if I, you know, I put it out there. I created like a little script of what I was going to say and put together, you know, just some basic material. So depending on what other people are doing, it's the same idea of just knowing that you have something that you want to offer, some service or product or something that you feel that is beneficial, that you know that is going to benefit people, and just finding a way to communicate that. So taking the time to communicate, how are you going to share about it? And I think when you're passionate and believe in what you're doing, it comes across. So even if you don't get it perfect, you don't get it right the first time, it's okay. I think that the intention behind it, your excitement, your passion translates, and just being willing to get out there. And, you know, you're going to get yeses, you're going to get nos, you're going to get all of it. And I think one of the things that's important to know, it's not personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a personal thing.
It's business. It's not personal.
It's business.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that is, it is also building relationships, you know, mm-hmm. So connecting with people, finding out what it is that they want, being of service. So it is easy. I mean, I think that when you were asking me about one of my weaknesses, I think in the past I have taken things personal, and sometimes I still do, but I think it's because I care a lot about whatever it is that I'm doing and want to do a good job. So you want to make people happy. You want them to enjoy what you're providing, or that it is valuable to them. So it's a fine line of, you know, putting it out there with your best intentions and doing your best work, but also knowing that sometimes it's not, it isn't, I mean, it isn't personal, but not to take it that way. I don't know if I was very clear in saying that. You know what I mean? It's
well,
a balance.
You were, and you know, you can't market to everyone, and you
right.
can't be the end all to end all to everybody. It just isn't. Some, you know, a large majority will obviously connect with you because you're warm and you're authentic and all of those, but there are some people who are looking for something different. And if you're trying to spread yourself too thin, you might not be able to help them, or you might just not have that connection. And that happens. And that doesn't mean that you are not capable or that you're not adequate or any of those things. It just means that you all didn't connect as well as maybe they might connect with someone else, or maybe they're just the kind of people who will never connect with anyone, you know.
Just never
and
know.
That occasionally happens too. So that's really is where it comes in, and it's not personal and it's business, and you've got to let that go, because if you focus on it, it will start to eat you up and erode your confidence level
yeah.
too. There was something that you mentioned that I think sometimes people shy away from and are scared of, and it seems at first, might seem at first to be kind of disingenuous, and yet it really is the opposite, and that is scripting something.
Mm.
And I thought that was so important that you said that, because to me, it really just helps you get very clear about what it is that you're offering and what it is that you want to say, so that you can then in turn say it in your own words, using your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know to, what made you think to say, oh, a script might be nice?
I'm trying to remember when I first learned how to do that. I go so far back, I'm not sure exactly. I think it was probably my early days of selling graphic design. I think to know for sure, like, you're going to hit all the points that you want to make sure that you cover things, because it's easy in the moment to start talking and forgetting, you know, all the points. So I think that it has a very practical purpose, as opposed to like, oh, I just, you know, I want to say it exactly this way. It's more about making sure that you include all the things that you want to share with somebody. And I know there's a saying about preparation, and I can't think of it right now, but I think that when you prepare, mm-hmm. it gives you the confidence. It gives you that confidence to, because it's kind of like, you know, acting. You you learn your lines, and then you bring, you know, who you are into that role. So it's the same kind of thing where you can practice it. Especially if you're nervous, you know, especially if you're going out and trying to sell maybe to a larger company that you've never done before, you know, you want to practice, build your confidence. Even maybe if you want to, depending on what this was about, maybe do it in front of someone to get their feedback. And I think it just helps take the nerves out. And that preparation is a big part of is confidence, but it also is a big part of coming across as professional and
yeah.
having your act together.
Yeah, exactly true. You don't want to look like you're stumbling around. I think the saying is it's better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have an opportunity and not be prepared.
I like that.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's something like that.
And I may have botched that, but that's what I take from that saying. When you said that, that's what it kind of made me think about. Do you consider yourself to be a risk taker?
You know, I don't, but when I start talking about being an entrepreneur, I guess on some level I am. You know, I think of myself as not, you know, too wild and, you know, risky type of person. I don't like to gamble or anything like that. But when it comes to just, you know, thinking that I can create a business and go out there and make it happen, I guess that is risky, you know. So I think it's also being willing to sacrifice. Not having that consistent security of a job and, you know, having an employer. So on that level.
But do we really think that that's secure?
In this day and age, it's pretty
age.
Clear that it's not.
Yeah.
It's a totally different world. In fact, I think that that's what a lot of coaches and consultants are sharing with people now, is that, you know, it's good to have that. A lot of people who even have jobs are working part-time doing their own thing. So mm-hmm. It's a new world. It really is. I mean, since the last 10 years or so, I think that people realize it's not the same like it used to be. So there is no security in that. So the only security you can have is in yourself and what you can accomplish and believing in yourself. And I think another important thing is to have people around you that you can rely on, that support you and believe in you, so that when you have those days when you're not feeling very confident and you are feeling afraid, that you can call them up and, you know that they're going to encourage you or support you and have your back. And I think that having those types of people in your life as an entrepreneur is very helpful.
Yeah, that's a very consistent theme that I hear time and time again on this show. And we know it to be true because we're really not an island. And it's hard to carry the torch when there are things coming at us that are stopping us and kind of putting us in that situation where we question, well, am I on the right path? And is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And am I really going to make it? And to be able to have that support team who can be there to cheer us on and help us look at it in a different light is incredibly beneficial and helpful to get us through the tough times, and to be there to share in our successes as well.
Yeah.
There's another saying, you know, if a man's in the forest, is he right, or something like that. I don't remember what it is, but it's like, it's hard to get all excited whenever you've gotten a success if there's no one to share it with, and to have a team that you can share it with is equally as important too, yeah. I think. Is there anyone who, maybe besides your mother, who's really inspired you and helped to shape the way you've wanted to do your business and move forward?
I feel as though there's been a lot of people, you know, along my path in terms of at different times. So nobody in particular stands out, but and sometimes it's some people that I don't know, you know, like I'll listen to an interview with Oprah and the CEO of Starbucks and listen to how passionate he is about, helping the people that work for him, and how it's not just about making money. It's about creating community and creating, making a difference in the world. So I guess I tend to be inspired by business owners and entrepreneurs who are not only about the dollar, they're about making a difference in the world with a business, you know, having a conscious business. That inspires me, anyone that's doing something like that. And there's quite a few people that are doing that now, and there's a lot more larger, successful business owners that are talking about that now, which is exciting to me, because that's something that's always been very much important to me from the time I started my own business.
And when we've talked before, you did talk about that, having, you know, making philanthropy and having a social arm of your business. Can you share more about that and what it is that you're doing?
Well, actually, when we started Get Up Girl, I actually co-founded the company with another coach by the name of Shannon Bindler, and our interest was not only in, you know, helping the women that came, because it was a women's coaching group business and event business, was, you know, giving back to local charities. Step Up was one of them that we supported. And right now I'm involved with a nonprofit called the Educare Foundation that provides communication and empowerment and leadership training for high school students. So it's very similar to a lot of the work that I do with adults and business owners, but it's geared towards high school students and teenagers, because I feel as though that's a time when a lot of us are struggling with confidence and struggling with, you know, who are we in this world? And it's a scary world for a lot of these young people. And so to provide them with tools to believe in themselves, to know that they're leaders, is very exciting to me.
Now, did you start that? And you started that?
No, it's actually an organization that I participate in.
Okay. Yeah. And it's international, national?
It's right now it's just in Los Angeles, although they have provided trainings for in other countries as well, but it's mostly focused in Los Angeles.
I see. And what made you select that versus there's so many out there competing for our volunteer time and attention?
There are so many, and I'm always, you know, bookmarking a lot of them that strike me. But the person that actually found is someone that I know personally and am familiar with the type of work that he was doing and had seen the results of the type of trainings. So I think that having that firsthand experience, having volunteered for them for many years, I just saw the light come on in the eyes of these young people, and that just really excited me. So to be honest, I wish there were 12 of me, because there's so many organizations that I would love to participate in. I'm also would love to, you know, I love the idea of using the arts to inspire young people, as well as being green and being conscious about the environment is also something that I really care about. So, you know, that's one of those things where I wish there were more of me, so I had more time to give back. But I think as long as I'm doing that somewhat, it's really important.
Well, it's definitely good for the soul.
Yeah.
and to know that you can help someone and empower someone. Obviously, you love what you do, and that's part of what you do with the businesses that you work with. But to be able to take a young person, and you have a son who's in college, right?
He actually just graduated.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yes,
of course, you look so young. You know, you say he's probably still in grade school. But it's just knowing some of the things that they face and tying that in with what, you know, the kind of things that they're going through and how they're getting ready to go out into the world, or what they need to go out into the world. And so that's really admirable and wonderful that you're able to find fulfillment in that way and also contribute in that way. So what is your greatest failure?
What is my greatest failure?
Or one that you, because sometimes it's hard to go back and go, okay, that was the one. But sometimes they do stand out.
Yeah.
And we really learned something really awesome from them. And I told you you would know everything I asked you.
I have to think about that one for a minute. I think, I can't think of one, but what I'm thinking about is something that you mentioned earlier about, you know, sometimes undervaluing who we are. And I think that I've been guilty of that over the years in different stages, in different ways, and then realizing it after the fact that, maybe I didn't charge enough in this certain situation or didn't ask what I could have asked for. So I think that's something I still struggle with, because my focus is a lot about on being of service and giving, and that I think that maybe I might have reached farther or been more successful if I had seen more of my value throughout my evolution as an entrepreneur.
So how do you balance that? Because I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, and perhaps women more than men,
mm-hmm.
Because there are differences between male entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs sometimes. And not to say that there's not some crossover, but that does happen,
yeah,
occasionally. What would you recommend? It's sometimes easier to think about what would we recommend to someone,
right,
else?
Well, I think that it's funny, because in some ways we've kind of talked about all these things already, and I think it's coming back to reminding ourselves about our strengths and reminding ourselves of the value that we are providing. And I think a lot of times I'm not thinking about that or reminding myself of all the things that I've done in my life and all that I bring. So I'm not just bringing, you know, these one or two ideas to someone. I have a wealth of life experience and gifts and strengths, and they're not always on the forefront of my mind. So one of the suggestions would be, you know, maybe to write a list of what are all your strengths, what are all the things you've accomplished in your life, and keeping it nearby to remind yourself. I mean, that's something that I've done for myself, and I think it's really helped me. Because I think I do tend to forget, like as you had mentioned earlier. So I think that's one suggestion. And again, keeping yourself surrounded by positive people, because it is kind of a decision. It's a daily decision to decide what you're going to focus on. And I think focusing on what I'm grateful for provides me with the energy and the focus of what's possible, what's good, and keeps me out of like, I'm not enough, it's not enough kind of thinking, you know, because it really is kind of stinking thinking when we're focused on that, you know, who am I to ask for this or that, you know? So I think that it's, and also being aware of what's out there, you know, looking at the competition, seeing what is fair in terms of what to charge or in terms of what to provide, you know, depending on if it's a service or a product, so that you have the awareness and the understanding of what the market value is. So it's educating yourself as well in terms of what's out there. So you're making the most educated decision as well as creating a sense of strong self. You know, it's a combination of working on yourself, but also educating yourself.
Well, when you were talking, it made me think of a couple of things. And one would be not undervaluing some of the things that don't always seem as clear cut as a strength. Like you're very warm and you're very welcoming. And that's huge. You are and nurturing. And those aren't necessarily skill sets that we always put down, but that's a really big thing, you know? And then also, what is your time worth? Like, what are you willing to do for that time? I mean, definitely, I think you need to be educated and it would be presumptuous to come out and say, I'm going to charge $200 an hour if you've never owned a business, you know, something along those lines. But on the other hand, there's certain times where I think it's good to take a look at, well, what is my time worth? If I'm going to go have coffee with someone, or I'm going to talk to someone for an hour and give them an hour of my time, what else could I be doing? What is my time worth with that? When I see them, I'm going to give everything I can possibly give. But what is it, what am I willing to do that for? What am I willing to give up in order to give them this time, kind of thing, if that makes sense?
Yeah, completely. So being aware of what you're willing to do and what your, like you say, value of your time. And a lot of people don't really know what that is.
Right. Well, I guess I think about it in terms of, as you know, I'm an artist, and so I'll put it in these kind of terms. So, like, if I was to sell a painting, what am I willing to sell that painting for? $5, $500, $5,000? What am I willing to let that painting go? If you were designing something, and say a more concrete term, if you were doing a design project for someone, what is it? What is your time worth to you? Not even so much to them, but what is it worth it for you to do that? To give up time with your family, time with your friends, doing another job, whatever it is. What is that time worth for you to sit down and do that? So I think sometimes when you look at it, and it may be a lower amount, it may be a higher amount. But it's in keeping with you, and you recognizing that value within yourself. Yeah, you know? So it might not be worth that to someone else, but it's worth it. That's what it's worth it for me to do it.
Right, and that's true. That you have to really be clear about that.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So sometimes we get scared and say, "Oh, well, they might not be willing to pay that," you know, but. What is it worth? Turning it around and looking at it. Mm-hmm. What is it worth to you? So
yeah,
I'm glad you brought
really
that up
advice.
because it is something, another way of looking at it that maybe we haven't always thought about. We don't have a whole lot of time left, a little bit though, and there's a couple of other questions I wanted to ask you. What was the hardest lesson you learned in your first year of business? Can you remember that? Or second or third or fourth, if it's easier to remember.
Saving files. That's the first thing.
That is such good advice. Everybody listen up. Yes.
Yeah. Or it's saving someone's original work. Cause I had learned that the tough way of something that I had created. This was the beginning of the computer age of graphic design. And I thought, okay, the job is done. I'm not even sure if I was conscious of it. And then he came back and asked me for, and I was like, I don't have it. So that was a tough one.
And you
one.
Thought you were going to die. And
yeah, I did.
And
I
you
did
would never was, work again.
Yes. And I did.
Yeah. And so we can get through those. We can get through those moments, even if they're hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about some of the challenging times of just when you were talking about that fear that comes up, like, oh no, there's just, I'm never going to get through this. The hardest thing ever. And you do.
And I think we all have those fears. Like even going back to high school or college and thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm worried I'm going to sleep through that test or forget to hand in my paper and the world will be over, but it never is. And most of the time, those things don't happen. So on the flip side of that, what about the greatest successes that you've had? Like when you think, that was really awesome. This is something I did, and this is success to me.
Well, I think when we first started Get Up Girl and we... You know, I was venturing into the whole idea of creating coaching groups and workshops. I had taken so many and been involved in that for so many years, but to know that I could do it on my own and to see the result and see the value that it provided other people, I felt it was very rewarding. It was very exciting to have that experience and to know that I could do that. And then the excitement of what's next, what else can I create, what more value and what other uplifting experiences can I create for other people. And then also just when I see my clients succeed and go to the next level and have their dreams come true, it's so exciting. My heart just fills with so much joy. I guess it's kind of like being a parent in a way, because you're there with them, supporting them, but you're also giving them the space to do what's best for them and to let them shine. And so you're kind of like a partner to them in creating something really wonderful.
Well, I think it is a lot. I think doing what we do is a lot like being a parent. And I've actually done talks on moms are the best entrepreneurs because we learn a lot of skills being a mom, being, you know, things that giving them space or giving them that gentle nudge or
clear direction, boundaries,
listening, all of those different things. But that is really exciting. And so when you had your first coaching client, and they actually paid you, and then they came back and said, oh my gosh, I did this. So that was the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, and then hearing like, well, because of you, these are the ways that I now see myself. I see myself in this totally new light, and I started doing this and this and this, and this is what's, you know, happening in my life now because of my relationship with you and because of the coaching and consulting that you provided. It just feels fantastic. Feels like it's all, you know, it's all worth what I'm doing, you know.
And where do you see yourself going in the future? So you've got your coaching and your consulting business, and you work with small businesses. What's kind of next?
Well, this is an interesting time because I did take a little time off because one of the things I did learn from being an entrepreneur, it's easy to get burnt out. And mm-hmm. I did have a little bit of that a couple years ago. So I took a little time off, and that felt really good to kind of recharge my battery. So that's a small plug for taking care of yourself as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Is very important. So so now I'm back into doing just what you had said. And as far as Get Up Girl, I'm in the process of rebuilding the website and kind of taking a look at where I want to take that.
And what is that website? Because we have just a minute left, and I want you to give that website.
Sure, it's getupgirl.org.
Great.
And like I mentioned, it in the process, I'm rebuilding it and kind of updating it. So I'm taking a look at how I might incorporate that into my coaching and consulting business that I do more with individuals.
Great.
And you know, wanting to maybe create more events and things like that.
Fantastic.
Where I'm working with groups. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Marguerite, for being with us. That's getupgirl.org, and I appreciate you coming on the show
today. Thank you so much, Jana. It was such a pleasure.
All right.